It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, 3 weeks ago, I attended American College of Nutrition annual conference in Arlington, Virginia, and the main theme throughout the conference was discussing the rate of obesity among adults and children and the epidemic of chronic health problems. Many of the researchers reminded us daily that two-thirds of the adults and one-third of children are overweight, but they really didn't offer any solutions. The only speaker to offer any possible solution was a professor of nutrition from England, and his solution was, let our government step in and change our food supply. You know, do away with the fast foods, replace processed foods with real food. You know, he doesn't believe that a grassroots effort of education can change the course of obesity and chronic disease. And of course, I believe that that's the only way to create change. Change comes with education. That's my belief system. This is my mission with this radio show. So, for all of my loyal listeners, you know, I really thank you for listening. And if you can encourage a friend or a family member to listen, that would be great. Even if they live in another city or another state, they can listen online. So that's kind of my passion is for this show, is to help people understand what food, real food, is all about and how you can really start eating real food and eliminating all these processed foods and get your health back in check. So our co-host is Christina Swigert. Christina is a licensed nutritionist. She sees clients in both our White Bear office and our St. Paul office. She also teaches many of our nutrition classes for both businesses and church groups. Plus, she's a mom of two young children, and you really help a lot of families get their nutrition back on track many, many times, don't you?
Yeah, I do have a lot of old families that will come sit down with me, and actually those appointments are usually pretty fun because you get the dynamics between their parents and the kids, and usually you find out a little bit more about a person when the people who live in their same house can make sure they're honest about the questions you ask them. So, you know, moms, dads, 2 to 3 kids, you know, and they usually each have some unique needs, but they all just need a little direction on healthy eating and how to plan that out, and sometimes the children, it's just helpful for them to hear it from somebody else other than their parents.
Someone else, that's all they need.
Yeah. Especially when they're teenagers, you know, real young, not, but as they get a little older, it's helpful.
Yeah. So if you're a parent of an overweight child, or if you're a teacher with children in your classroom that are overweight, we want to share some research and tips on how you can provide an environment that will help children eat better, basically.
Right. And, you know, overweight and obese children not only suffer physically, but also emotionally throughout childhood. And, you know, for those that remain heavy into adulthood, they do have higher risks of developing diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and even a lot of types of cancers. And it comes at younger and younger ages when it starts out with the obesity at a young age.
You know, it's so interesting because obesity is such an epidemic right now. But, you know, until fairly recently, childhood obesity was so rare that no one even tracked the occurrence of it. No one even counted it. So, and I remember certainly no one in my own elementary grade was over. Yes, we did have school back then. Even in my elementary grades, there was no one overweight. And even when I taught fourth grade 40 years ago, I don't remember any overweight children. And Christina, were there any overweight children in your elementary grades?
I really think about it, I can't really think of very many, maybe one or two. And that was only, you know, as an elementary, probably late 80s, junior high, you know, early 90s. And even then, there was not much at all.
So that's kind of interesting because that really, you know, it says it said about 5% of children in 1964 were overweight, and about 13% in 1994, and today it is 32% of our children are overweight.
That's a big jump.
Yes.
And more alarming is that overweight children are showing up with some pretty major health concerns, such as fatty livers, which is a precursor to cirrhosis of the liver.
I mean, think about
that. That's amazing.
And we used to think of cirrhosis or fatty livers as only coming from
alcoholics.
Yeah. Alcohol. But now we know it's coming from sugar.
Yep, sugar. And
kids are getting this.
Yeah, it's sad, very sad. Sleep apnea, another thing that even kids are starting to experience when they're struggling with being overweight. And cardiovascular things, I know it's starting to become routine to test children's cholesterol when they hit a certain age at their physicals.
Mm-hmm.
I've had clients come in with kids who have high cholesterol and type 2 diabetes. So our kids are in deep trouble, and it's really from the food that they're being given.
So this may be a little strong, but parents, if you're still taking your kids to fast food places, you have to look at reality for your kids. You know, a regular-sized McDonald's burger with a 16-ounce Coke and a small order of fries has 627 calories. But if you supersize it, it gets you about 1,800 calories for the same meal. And, you know, for a kid to be able to consume 1,800 calories in a meal, they have to be training for a marathon.
Right. And hopefully not too many kids are doing that. You know, an order of 6 chicken McNuggets alone has 500 calories and about only 1 ounce of protein, which isn't barely, you know, much and not enough for most kids. Add the fries and the Coke and you are at about 2,000 calories.
So let's go back to that one a little bit, Christina. You know, an order of 6 chicken nuggets, you know, is 500 calories. And I bet most teenage boys or girls,
yeah,
they don't stop with 6, do they?
No.
They probably do a double order.
Yeah, get that in burgers, or especially the boys at least.
Yes.
So,
you know, another place that I see many classroom teachers, you know, they're really adding to this epidemic of overweight kids. And it's kind of annoying, I think. It seems that some teachers feel they have to teach with a constant supply of M&Ms or some other candy treat. They don't realize that what they're doing, they're keeping the constant cravings for sugar going all day long. And kids just continually want sugar all day long.
Right. And sometimes you add into that the chocolate milk, if they have that at lunch or milk break.
Yes.
And then it affects their behavior.
You mean to say chocolate milk is not okay?
No.
Very
high in sugar.
You know, think about chocolate milk, high in sugar.
Yeah, it is very high in sugar.
And what kind of sugar?
A lot of times it's corn syrup.
Yes. So, you know, and that's what we are allowing. We're really allowing and encouraging our kids to drink sugar for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. You know, there's a study that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that found overweight children find food more reinforcing than do non-overweight children. So, yes, the overweight children will work harder for those M&M treats. And maybe some of you see this in your kids or in your classroom. But what's happening is it's keeping them focused on sugar and sugar treats continually, which is going to increase their risk for developing insulin resistance. And insulin resistance just sets up kids for continual obesity and really just leads to a whole bunch of different chronic health conditions.
That's kind of an interesting piece of research,
isn't it,
Christine?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, overweight kids, and probably overweight adults.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's the sugar things are more reinforcing to us. And I think we see that in people that we work with.
That,
you know, some people, you ask them not to eat sugar, and they'll say, oh, that's no big problem. You know, I'll stop right now.
Yeah.
And then other ones, they have to work really diligently not to eat sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be given a lot of help and support to not eat sugar.
Right.
So it goes, and it starts as children.
Yes.
You know?
A lot of adults can remember back to when they were kids and some of their eating, the ones who really have the sugar cravings,
mm-hmm.
the similar patterns as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess I would think that for teachers, you know, and maybe it's time to stop with the candy, cookies, crackers, popcorn, and motivate kids with minutes of physical activities or reading. You know, so many teachers have these candy dishes in their rooms, and I think those things have to disappear. And, you know, I know this for some teachers, this may sound harsh, but in the end, it's really better for the teacher, and it is actually much better for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Halloween coming up here, don't we, Christina?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see a lot. You know, I think we need to talk about this a little bit, because what are we going to be giving our kids, and what are our kids going to be getting? You know, if they go out and get all those little candy bars,
mm-hmm.
what's in those candy bars, basically?
Sugar.
Sugar.
And sometimes bad fats, too.
And bad fats. So how can you encourage your kids maybe not to look for those things? But I think it's a whole change in our culture.
Right.
It's getting away from the Halloween candy treat thing and into activities, some physical activities, or, you know, like I know Anoka is doing a Halloween run this morning,
right.
which I think is a great activity. And,
right.
you know, so they're trying to support and promote something that is physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if paper, you haven't gone out to buy any candy, I bet, Christina.
No.
And will you?
No.
No.
My husband maybe hands out a little bit, but we don't buy it for our kids, and actually our kids don't go out and get it either.
Yes.
We don't do that.
Yes. And so I think that if you are going to be giving out treats and things, maybe you have to start looking for other things that you can give out to kids. And I think there's a lot of little trinkets or color crayons or pencils or
mm-hmm.
stickers or, you know, all kinds of different things that if you have kids coming to your door that you could give out, and then you're not feeding to this 32% of kids that have childhood obesity.
Right.
Because those are the kids that are out there getting the candy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, you know, we can't blame just the parents and teachers on the fact that 16% of children are obese and 11% are really very obese. It really goes back to junk food marketers spending billions of dollars advertising unhealthy foods to kids. It's amazing. And actually, they can spend even up to $10 billion a year just to get kids to eat more junk food. And it's not just candy. I mean, by junk food, we mean, you know, candy, but then, you know, other things that you see on TV, different kinds of cereals or Pop-Tarts or, you know, fruit snacks and fruit roll-ups or all those different types of things are considered junk food.
So we're going to hold that thought right there, and we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. This week, Christina wrote a very helpful article for the Weight and Wellness newsletter, giving some steps to prevent childhood obesity. So today, after each break, Christina will share her recommendations. So if you have questions today, our phone number is 651-641-1071.
This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is LA.
All I wanna do is welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here today with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. And we want to share four steps coming back from each break to prevent childhood obesity. So step one, remove high fructose corn syrup from your home. Very important. You know, despite the recent media campaign promoting high fructose corn syrup as pretty much harmless and all natural, the sweetener does raise blood sugar rapidly, and it is very easily stored as fat, which is going to increase the risk of obesity and diabetes. So how do you get the corn syrup? Pop-Tarts, a lot of cereal, soda, even bread, granola bars, candy, juice, fast food, and countless processed foods are going to contain high fructose corn syrup. So the best ways to eliminate this harmful sweetener from your family's diet are to really read labels on all packaged foods so you don't serve it unknowingly. And start to make more fresh foods available for meals and snacks. So some good options for snacks would include string cheese, cut up raw vegetables with a natural ranch dressing, fresh fruit, real peanut butter, olives, nuts. There's a lot of options out there. You know, many families see improvements just by doing this one thing, by removing high fructose corn syrup from their diets.
So that's step one.
Yes.
Get rid of the corn syrup sweetener. So I have a little hot flash announcement. If you're experiencing hot flashes, sleepless nights, low libido, or weight gain, we have just the class for you. Solutions for Menopause and Perimenopause. The class will be next Saturday morning, November 1st, from 9:30 to 12:30 at our Wayzata location, and we have two great instructors, Barb Bredesen, nutrition educator, will offer her expertise in helping you understand how you can manage symptoms through nutrition. And Sandy Greenquist, director of the Menopause Center of Minnesota, will discuss the use of bioidentical hormones. So we can, if you want to sign up today, you can. It's the phone number in Wayzata is 952-345-0766. Or you can go on our website, weightandwellness.com, and just check out the information. So we have a caller right now, and I think we'll take that. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a comment for us?
Yeah, I hope I can squeeze in one or two question comments.
Sure.
The first one is I want your opinion on the school lunch programs. I know they vary quite a bit by district. What I see is a lot of breaded meat, chicken nugget type things.
Yes.
No whole grains, just white bread from some big conglomerate.
Yes.
And a lot of canned food, which they even add salt to, like canned corn. And for fruit, they often have a canned fruit sauce. And my other question was dehydrated cane juice. Is that better for your metabolism than a refined sugar? I buy it at the food co-ops under the name Sucanet.
Christine, you want to answer that?
I think that's definitely going to be better than high fructose corn syrup. I think sometimes we have to remember that sugar is sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, you know, looking for things, like if it's baking or things like that, yes, that is going to be less refined.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't give me that sugar low
sure.
or that jittery feeling, that
right.
refined sugar.
Yeah, I know another thing, like if people use things to sweeten tea or yogurt, that the agave syrup that's out there can mm-hmm. be a nice option.
Mm-hmm.
And stevia, too, which doesn't affect your blood sugar at all.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but always looking for the less refined is going to be better, and still
yeah.
always being careful about how much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, Mary, as your comment was that, you know, the school lunches in a lot of districts, they have to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we're going to get to move that. I think parents are going to have to start that grassroots movement in their districts
right.
to get a change. And then, you know, you could, in reality, it would take $1 more per child per day to have fresh fruit and vegetables and fresh meat for every kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the most wealthy. So we're supposedly one of the most wealthy countries, and we are not spending our money on good foods for our kids. Kind of strange, isn't it? I mean,
well, I always hear the response that the kids won't eat it, but
well, you know,
if they're
what?
Offered healthy food and that was it, you would think eventually they would eat it.
Now, yes. Christine, you have two young children. Do they
mm-hmm.
eat healthy food?
Yes.
Yes. And I have three grandchildren, and they love healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
They love their vegetables. They love their meat. And it's just because they haven't been fed sugar, sugar, sugar.
Right.
And so,
and
sugar.
And I know places that have made changes that, yeah, the kids are very grateful for the changes and do end up enjoying it.
Well, do the school districts have to get, like, is it from the federal government, or do they
sure,
have
they get,
options of going beyond that?
They have some options. They definitely have some choices that they can make.
Mm-hmm.
But they're always talking about the financial cost of things. But,
yeah.
you know, and I think a lot of parents would be willing to spend more money
mm-hmm.
so that their kids could eat better at school.
Well, just to add more whole grains even and do away with all this breading. And
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And to add some real vegetables. So thanks for the call and the comment. And I think,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay,
parents and districts are just going to have to stand up and say this is what we demand. It's the only solution, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had another caller and she didn't wait on the line, Christina. The question was, what is higher in sugar? Soda, you know, soda pop or like chocolate milk.
Right.
Well,
I don't know the exact measurements, but there probably isn't a whole lot of difference. And I think sometimes it depends. You know, there are some chocolate milks, I think, that don't use corn syrup. A lot of them do. So, but it's still something to be, I mean, every once in a while, I'll do a little bit of a chocolate milk thing for my kids. And sometimes it's something I do even at home and not the store-bought stuff, but it's
right.
not a very regular occurrence at all.
I think one of the things, if people are wondering about that, they can look at the amount of carbohydrates on the side of the package
mm-hmm.
per serving.
Right.
Now, most sodas have many servings.
Right.
And so does most chocolate milks have many
mm-hmm.
servings. But if it's got, say, 32 grams of carbohydrate, you divide that by 4... because 4 grams of carbs equal 1 teaspoon of sugar in your body.
Right.
So when that happens, then you've got 8 teaspoons of sugar going into your body
right.
from that little bit of liquid. So that's one way that you can determine whether you're taking in a lot of sugar
right.
in this processed foods.
Yep.
So just a little trick for people. So, gee, that time went so fast.
Wow.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in nutrition education. I want to thank all the teachers that attended my presentation last Thursday at Education Minnesota Conference at the River Center. And I also want to thank the conference planners for inviting me. I had a great time, and I had a very engaged audience, and that was great. So if you have questions for us today, it's 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Here's another step that you can put into place to help prevent childhood obesity, and that is to remove hydrogenated oils from your home. You know, kids should never be given hydrogenated oils, and really, they should never be put on a low-fat diet either. And although the dangers of trans fats, you know, they have been publicized more widely over the past 2 years, people are still consuming them on a regular basis. And you cannot just trust the product claims that boast 0 grams trans fats until you check the ingredients and look in the list of ingredients for hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils. Because products containing less than 0.5 gram per serving can claim that they have no trans fats under the current regulations, but they still will be listed in the ingredients.
So then what you have to do is you have to replace all those damaged fats with good fats. You know, this is really critical for the health and the metabolism of kids that are growing. Fat aids in the development of the brain because our brain is 60 to 70% fat, and it supports the nervous system. And it, you know, so then kids are more focused and they have more positive moods. It supports their immune system. It keeps their skin healthy. It helps build healthy metabolisms and good brains.
Yes, and you know, kids really need at least 1 tablespoon of fat at each meal and snack. So things like butter, real cream cheese, olives, nuts, real nut butters, avocados, coconut oil or coconut milk, and olive oil. You know, when you include these healthy fats at every meal and snack, you will find that your children will be more satisfied. They'll have fewer cravings, and they're going to behave better, too.
And they're going to be not asking, what's to eat, because they're going to be more satisfied.
Right.
So let's take a few callers. Hi, is it Diana?
It is.
Hi there. You have a question for us today?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Can I mention a company name, a store?
Sure.
Okay, I'm contemplating ordering from Seattle Sutton, and I'd like to know the nutritional value, in your opinion, and if that's a good service or...
Well, I can give you a little bit of feedback as far as, because I've had one client or two clients that had brought in the packages from Seattle Sutton, and I can just tell you a little bit. I thought that they were probably too high in carbohydrates for most people that have more of an insulin resistance problem, and they were pretty processed, I thought. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Nutrisystems or any of these prepackaged foods. It's more of a prepackaged kind of thing. And I think, I don't know, Christina, have you had people come in with...
Yes. And usually what I did, because this person was eating it and wanted to stay on it, is there were things I took away from most of her meals and things I added. Usually had to add some healthy fat, sometimes had to add protein to breakfast, and oftentimes had to take away some of the carbohydrate side items that they put with it.
But, you know, when you look at life in general, you know, mm-hmm. you have to weigh things back and forth. It may be healthier than what you're doing now if you're only eating junk food.
No.
So it's like it could be a better step than no step.
So, well, the problem is I'm single and I don't like to cook.
Well.
And I want to eat healthy.
Yeah. We work with a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is help them figure out how they can do this with maybe some of the local stores and still eat healthy and do a minimal amount of cooking. But still eat healthy.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
I should stop in.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Bye.
So let's take another caller here. Mm-hmm. Hi, Joan. Oops, I think...
Yes?
Hi, Joan.
Hi.
You have a question for us today?
Yeah, you mentioned something a little bit ago about, and I didn't catch what it was, but it sounded like a sugar substitute, but you said there was no sugar in it?
Yes, Christina. Right. That was stevia that I was mentioning.
And what is that?
They just extract it from a plant, actually. It's from a plant that has a sweetness to it. And you can find it in powder. You can find it
Wait a minute. I got to go to the other room. I turned my radio up a little bit because it took a while to get here. Okay, stevia.
Yep.
How do you spell that?
It's S-T-E-V-I-A.
Oh, just the way it sounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in.
What is it? A plant derivative?
Yes. They just extract it from a plant, and you can get it in a powder or in a concentrate, and you really can find it in pretty much any grocery store.
And you will use very little of it.
And it's extracted from a plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can get it where?
Pretty much any store, and just make sure you don't use large amounts because it will get bitter.
Okay, don't use large. And what was, you named two.
Agave was the other one. That one does have some sugar in it, but it doesn't affect your blood sugar quite as much as like honey or pure maple syrup.
Okay, so it doesn't affect... blood sugar as much as maple syrup or honey.
Yep.
Okay, so that does have some sugar. How do you spell that one?
Agave. And that's also from a plant.
Agave. Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
So it's time to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, the best obesity prevention plan is nutrition education. You know, starting the week of November 3rd, that's next week, you can find our weight and wellness classes in Eden Prairie, Wayzata, Maple Grove, White Bear Lake, Woodbury, St. Paul, and Burnsville. And these series of six classes will give you the information, the tools, and the support to stay healthy through the holidays. All six two-hour classes for only $225 include a nutrition manual, a cookbook, and great motivational teachers. These truly are life-changing classes that turn people on to health. To sign up, call 651-699-3438 or check the times and location on our website, weightandwellness.com.
Like she's right there in my ear, telling me that she wants.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here today with Darlene Kavist, also a licensed nutritionist. So here's step three for preventing childhood obesity, and that is to make sure that your children eat a healthy, balanced breakfast. That is a huge priority in my home for myself and my kids. And too often, breakfast really is so rushed and filled with pretty much processed carbohydrates. And yes, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, especially for a healthy metabolism. And you know, breakfast really sets the tone for the day. It sets the tone for your energy, for your metabolisms, and for craving. And eating cereal, fruit and juice, or a breakfast bar or Pop-Tart is going to raise blood sugar, usually too high, which is going to be when we store fat, and then it causes it to crash an hour or two later. And the blood sugar roller coaster just really is going to lead to fatigue, poor concentration, and irritability.
And on the flip side of that, you have to start eating protein to help balance blood sugar. You know, it fuels the brain, and it gives you lots of lasting energy. Good protein choices. Well, we talk about eggs all the time, scrambled in butter or hard-boiled, which can be done really ahead of time. You know, nitrate-free sausage. No chemicals in your sausage.
Right.
Sliced meat, cottage cheese, organic whole milk, yogurt. To complete a breakfast, fresh fruit or a piece of whole grain toast with real peanut butter would be a better choice than cereal. With a little planning, you can make breakfast that puts your children on the right track for the whole day.
Yes. And there's some things. I understand busy mornings. We have at least three a week right now, and there are definitely some things that I do to make sure that morning goes better and we can get a good breakfast. A lot of times I make sure, you know, lunches are put together the night before. I even will get the backpacks and diaper bags and everything lined up by the door, my stuff. And then I get up before my kids so I can get ready and I'm all ready to go before they get up. And I try and make sure I have breakfast on the table before they get up. So that way they get up, put their clothes on, come down and eat. And it really does help the mornings go a lot smoother and none of us are so frazzled when we get in the car and go out the door.
Right.
And we get there on time.
Yes, exactly. So. And you're a very organized lady. But, and you know, when people are not as organized, they have to work harder at being organized, I think. And
right.
And, you know, it's your kids will be happy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a couple of callers here. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. I was wondering if you could explain to me about insulin resistance.
Oh, certainly can. What happens is insulin resistance, it affects the cell wall, the cell membrane. And what happens is that when people have insulin resistance, they've actually eaten too much sugar for too long of a time, which has made their body, their pancreas, produce too much insulin. And then there is a coating that occurs on the membrane, and that's called insulin resistance. So the insulin resistance is made up of insulin, sugar, and trans fats. And so then there's this crust. And so when that crust is there, the little bit of insulin can't get the sugar into the cell. And so then the pancreas has to produce more insulin. And more insulin causes fat gain, you know, weight gain,
right,
fat storage, and it causes inflammation in your body. And it causes your cholesterol to go up, causes your blood pressure to go up, and all those things.
And how, you reverse that how?
You reverse it by reducing the amount of sugar that you're taking in,
okay,
the carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
You get rid of all the trans fats, all the refined oils,
mm-hmm,
and then you take omega-3 fish oil because that seems to help to remove that kind of crust, that hard shell that's on the receptors for your insulin.
Okay. Well,
so,
thank you very much.
That was a great question.
Yeah.
I love those kinds of questions.
And a lot of people were probably thinking it.
So, sure, I think we'll take one more caller here. Hi, Kate. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, you have a question?
Yes, I was in the office in St. Paul about a month ago for a consultation, and it was life-changing for me. And one of the results of the appointment is that I have so much energy now. I joined a club and I'm working out. But one of the biggest changes in the diet is there's a lot of healthy fats that I've added. And the trainers there and some of my friends say that I should be making low-fat choices. And I totally buy into what was diagnosed. But what facts can you give me to help me explain why that's so important?
Well, I mean, there's just a ton of good. Because if you were in for a consultation, you're only eating good fats. You're
right.
Eating, you know, butter, olive oil, avocados, nuts, and seeds. And that's going to help your brain work. It's going to help your hormones work. It's going to help you lose weight. It's going to help your cardiovascular system. I don't know, Christina, it's going to lower your cholesterol. It's going to lower your blood pressure. I mean, all those things.
Yeah, keep having that longer-lasting energy. And I find, too, people are able to get through their workouts better when they have healthy fats beforehand. Because
so,
it keeps their blood sugar stable longer.
You see, it's like some people haven't caught up with the newest research. And that's the sad part. People are not caught. And we have. And we know what the newest research is on fats and oils. Now, we're not saying eat tons. We're
right.
Just say eat good fats in moderation. And moderation is about a tablespoon of good fats per meal and snacks.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Great question,
yes.
Of course.
Thanks for the call.
And so I think what we'll have to do here is take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. If you'd like a copy of this newsletter that Christina wrote this article for, or any future newsletters, you know, go to our website, weightandwellness.com, and sign up at the bottom of the homepage. And if you're interested in a family consultation, call our office at 651-699-3438. And if you have a child or a teen with a weight struggle, you know, now is a time to offer some nutritional solution. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Here's one last step to help prevent childhood obesity. Step number 4, balance meals and snacks with protein, carbohydrates, and fats. You know, meals and snacks do not have to be fancy or time-consuming. Just be sure to provide a balance of healthy foods. You know, something that is helpful is to start with a good protein, preferably from an animal source, such as chicken, beef, eggs, fish, or cheese. Then add a real carbohydrate. And, you know, good carbohydrates include vegetables, fruits, rice, sweet potatoes, squash, and whole grain bread or crackers without hydrogenated oils can sometimes be used as well. And then complete the meal or snack with a healthy fat. You know, you can cook with butter or coconut oil. It's very good. Serve healthy salad dressings as a dip for vegetables. and provide olives to stick on the fingers and snack on. My kids like to do that.
So if this sounds overwhelming, start with one step and make it fun. You know, involve your kids in planning menus and preparing foods. My granddaughters love to chop vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some families, it helps to make a list of the protein, carbohydrates, and fats, and let your kids pick the ones that they're going to enjoy eating.
Yes.
Your kids like the olives on their fingers.
Right. You know, encourage children by focusing on what matters to them. You know, they're probably not going to care about preventing diabetes and heart disease, but doing better in school, having more energy for sports, and or healthy skin may really motivate them. So, you know, it's not always easy. We understand that. But, you know, your encouragement and your perseverance will pay off. And your children will learn the nutrition habits they need really for a lifetime. And that's the goal.
Yes, it is. You know, I think it's kind of interesting is that we were talking about a half an hour ago by now.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about the billions of dollars of advertising that big companies spend on trying to get kids to eat on healthy foods. And really, they spend about $10 billion annually. Now, what do? They've got cartoon characters to entice kids into junk food. We know as adults, if you see a commercial over and over and over and over, that pretty soon you're going to want that product. Even if you didn't ever think you would want that product, you're going to want that product.
Right.
You know, think about how food commercials influence kids. They have to have that special cereal. In fact, I've heard, you know, parents, they don't even want to go shopping with their kids any longer because they have, you know, they have a temper tantrum because they can't have that special cereal.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's time to turn off the TV. I know my daughter has. So my granddaughters understand that a certain fast food clown is really an evil clown enticing kids into eating junk food. Isn't that great?
Yeah. You know, even professional nutrition associations such as the American Diabetic Association accepts money from companies such as Coca-Cola, which gets these companies access to decision makers in the food and nutrition marketplace through ADA events and programs. You know, and some of these industry groups even sponsor nutritional fact sheets distributed to the consumer.
And I think that's an interesting thing because we get a lot of people see those and they always including their products as an okay product, but they're not okay.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's, you know, these companies, they have really taken a lot of food and they have taken things that have actually been financed financially by foods such as, you know, crops such as corn and wheat and soybeans, and they've taken that and they've turned it into fast foods and snack foods and beverages, and they make a lot of profit with those, and they're high profit, but they're high in calories, and that's becoming a problem for people.
Right, it is. So, you know, as parents, grandparents, teachers, we just need to try our best to be good at giving our kids healthy things. You know, and we do have an uphill battle to keep our kids healthy, and for a number of different reasons. But the fact is, obesity soon will overtake smoking as the most harmful to our health.
So we really do have a problem. And, you know, all these commercials and all this stuff that's coming out from these companies, you know, our kids are influenced, and our teachers are influenced, parents are influenced. And now we're finding out that even some nutritional professionals are influenced, but not all. And so today, we really wanted to share all these possible solutions for you. And that's what we've been trying to do, is thinking through and share some ideas that will really give you an answer.
Right. And, you know, first I think we need to recognize that most people need just more nutrition information. You know, and as consumers, we're always bombarded by a lot of different misconceptions. But really, I think if we think for ourselves, we'll understand that the bottom line is that more processing of foods means more profits, but less healthy. And, you know, I think as we walk through the stores, we can figure that out, that, you know, minimally processed foods such as fruits and vegetables obviously aren't where the companies are looking for the profits, but that's where the most nutrition is for us.
And, it you know, it does take a little longer time to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an interesting thing. The lady that just called in that had gone in and had a nutrition consultation, and she's feeling great.
Yeah.
But she still is getting these mixed messages from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So as we always say, you know, the real answer is nutrition education. And nutrition either can be a problem or it can be your solution. So have a great day. Thank you for listening.